Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Rain?
Yes.
Hi.
Welcome.
Well,
welcome everybody.
Laughter
to
meditation.
To oneness.
Thank you so much. It's a delight to be here with you, Charlene. And I'm getting a little echo here, so I'm going to do my best.
Okay. We'll start from the beginning. Okay.
Wonderful.
Happy Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, everyone, and welcome to Journey into Oneness. Things are a little chaotic this morning for a number of different reasons, but I'm so glad that you have joined us today. It's a beautiful day. Any day that you get up in the morning is a beautiful day. I know yesterday I just felt a little stress in the air, so I went up into the mountains. I did a three-hour hike in the woods. And what was interesting is when I got to a certain section of the woods, high above where a lot of human traffic happened, in fact, much off the trail, there was this beautiful, beautiful love that was so palpable that just surrounded the whole area. And it just made me feel that I was so taken care of. It was an expansiveness that was so hard to describe. I just looked out as far as I could see into the mountains and felt this beautiful, beautiful, loving, comforting energy that almost brought tears to my eyes. And it reminded me that this energy is present all the time on our planet. And all I need to do is to remember to just sink in the heart and to feel that love, that oneness that connects us all. And that's what the woods do to me, is they just help me to center in the love within my heart that I know I'm part of something much bigger, that it's not just me and it's not just this country or this world. I had heard it once said that if you think about the earth, this globe, as a grain of sand, that's about the size of it compared to the universe. If the universe was the whole earth, our planet is about the size of a grain of sand. So life is so expansive, and it's love and oneness that makes it feel that way. That's what the woods do to me, but you know, there's something else. There's another way that we could really feel oneness and bring it into our lives more, especially at challenging times, and that's with the animals in our life. I know I've had dogs an awful lot when I was growing up and through my married life, and I've also really have appreciated my connection to the animals when I reach them in nature. But I never really thought about deeply communicating with them and really understanding them better, and that's what our guest today is going to help us out with. That guest is Rain Hummingbird. She is a professional animal communicator in Asheville, North Carolina, and works with people and their animal companions nationally and internationally, dedicated to helping people deepen their connection and understanding with their companions, the animal companions. And in addition to that, she also does phone consultations and offers animal communication workshops and mentoring. Does distance Reiki energy healing sessions for both animals and humans, and also offers intuitive readings for people as well. It's with integrity, heart, and humor that Rain offers this work to support people in deepening their bond with their beloved animals. She views this as one way people can be more aware of their own journey into oneness. So, Rain, welcome very much to the show.
Thank you so much, Darlene. It's such a pleasure to be here. What a delight. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'll tell you, it seems as every day goes by that more and more we need to recognize the oneness of everything within and around us. So this is very apropos for today.
I agree. Yes, today and every day. absolutely. And, you know, what you described about your connection with the earth and nature is very similar to how we can connect with the animals. It's really the same, where you're being open to receiving that love. In the case of animal communication, you're open to receiving the messages and also sending, as you were talking about, your gratitude and appreciation. We also can then send messages to animals. And animal communication is something that people are becoming more and more aware of, and there's more people reaching out to explore this, to connect with it. And for your listeners who may be unfamiliar with it, animal communication is very simply species telepathic communication. And all that means is communicating with an animal telepathically. Telepathy is something we're doing all the time. Sometimes people aren't aware of it. And I'll give you an example because most of us have had this experience. So this may be familiar to folks. If ever you've been thinking about a friend, all of a sudden your phone rings, it's them, and you're like, wow, I was just thinking about. So you've communicated telepathically, you're on the same wavelength, you're connected to one another, and you've received one another's messages. Communicating with animals in that way is very similar. You literally are tapping in telepathically and sending and receiving messages. So it's feeling and sensing across a distance. That make sense?
It does. But how exactly does that work?
Well, it's very natural. We all have the ability to do it. And most people, particularly those with animal companions who have had the experience, something as simple as receiving or transmitting love, that's communicating telepathically. It's very simple. We all have the ability to do this. It's not unique to me. I have honed my skills to do it professionally for others. But we all have the ability to do this, and it's innate. So this isn't really about people learning how to do communication, but rather it's about choosing to step into it more deeply and really, for some folks, really connecting with that ability that is already within them.
So how did you come about doing this work?
Well, let's see. I had been exploring animal communication for a couple of decades before I felt the call to do it professionally. And it was a time of great change in my life. A lot of things were kind of dismantling. And so it was an opportunity to really let something new and beautiful into my life. And we could say that's an opportunity for all of us today, in fact. So the animals guided and helped me. And there were a couple of situations that happened that really sort of solidified this for me. One in particular, you know, Native American spirituality is part of my spiritual practice. So we use plant medicines such as cedar, cornmeal, sage, tobacco, things of that nature. So one day I was out with a friend collecting some cedar for ceremony, and we were in this field with a wooded area, and it was an area he was familiar with. And a horse came by, and he said, "Oh, this guy's not really too friendly. He'll just walk right by you." And this horse came right to me, put its nose right in my belly, took a nice deep snort, you know, and just lingered there. And then another horse came. And then a few more horses came. And then more horses came. And before I knew it, within a few minutes, I was surrounded by, I don't know, 7 or 8 horses. I was right in the middle. My friend was outside. They were all around me. And clear as a bell, I heard, "We are here to help you when you're ready to help the people." And that was one of several situations that happened. But it was that kind of, you know, get goose flesh, you know, chills up there.
That is.
Yep.
That is. So that's when you started looking more deeply into how to communicate with the animals or understand them more?
And more to do it as a service for others, because there were other situations that popped up, and I could give you many examples, but that's one that really kind of sticks out in my consciousness. So the animals came to me. They offered to help me. And then, you know, the pegs just started falling into place. I was in the flow, and my practice started shortly thereafter, and it grew, and, you know, and now it's history. And here I am.
Wow. I know that in my personal experience, it seems like animals can really comfort you and help you through challenging times more than anyone else can. And it seems like that is a big service that they offer us, and that's all that they're interested in doing, is just helping us and giving us love and being of service. It amazes me,
absolutely.
It amazes me when people can understand words from animals as well. They understand details of what an animal is saying. Can you offer some suggestions on how our listeners could communicate with their own animal companions or animals that they meet in nature?
Absolutely. And I'd like to just take a moment to speak to what you just said about how animals show up in our lives. Animals are amazing teachers of unconditional love. And our relationship with them is an opportunity for us to really go deeper in our own self-knowing. And as we open to the wisdom that the animals have to share with us and their messages, we too can grow and evolve. And this relates back to the whole point of oneness that is, you know, the integral part of the teachings and the wisdom that you share, that we're all connected. You know, the illusion of separation is that. It's an illusion. And our connection with animals help us to connect and to connect more deeply. really that communing with animals and nature really helps us come home to our true selves, to our love, our joy, and to all that is. So for me, animal communication is a part of my spiritual practice. It involves being present, open-hearted, connected, open to receiving and giving. It really helps us stay grounded. So to get to your question about some tips, I can boil it. First, let me first say it's very simple, okay? And I can boil it down to sort of what I call three key mantras. And I'll expand on that a little bit here. So first I would say, I would invite people to acknowledge that they already have a connection, a conscious connection to receiving and sending messages with animals. It's something already innate with them. It's helpful to ask the animals to help you. They want to communicate with you. They want to help you. You know, the essence of animal communication is about quieting the mind and breathing, which our breath is always with us, so we always have the opportunity to quiet the mind. You know, this can be part of our meditation practice. So quieting the mind, opening the heart, and being willing to receive. So the three mantras. Number one, be open and receptive. Number two is to perceive the message, not project. And number three, acknowledge and accept what you receive. It's that simple. There's a lot more to it. But in essence, to kind of boil it down, that's really the essence of it. So a good place for people to start, and of course animal lovers already respect animals, but respecting and viewing animals as sentient beings, they, like we, are spirits embodied in a body. Their bodies are different than ours. We're having a human experience. They're having an animal experience. But we're all spirits embodied in a body. And they have wisdom to share with us. You know, it's also important in the process of communicating with animals for people to pay attention to their thoughts. In my workshops, I introduce this concept of what I call the compassionate observer. And what that is it's the part of ourselves that notices things without judgment. So if we have any limiting beliefs or thoughts, you know, we can't do this, what on earth could an ant have to share with me? You might be surprised. Okay, so really just be open to that. It's also helpful for people to believe in their ability to communicate telepathically. Sending and receiving messages is something that's very natural. Validating and honoring all of the intuitive messages that you get in your life on a day-to-day basis helps to foster a deeper sense of knowing and a sense of confidence that they're doing it. So I often refer to this as sort of like building a muscle. If you want to have a buff bicep, it might be helpful to lift weights. If you want to develop your intuitive knowing, it's really good to practice it and honor when you receive intuitive messages. So the more you trust, the more you get. As I mentioned, practicing quieting the mind is the essential foundation of the communicating clearly with animals. Being present in the moment, you can't receive clearly if your signal is blocked or full of static. So that's kind of mind chatter that happens with humans, all of us. It's practicing quieting the mind. So there's an emptiness there. There's some space for the information to come. And with that one, I often use the example of a garden hose. You know, the water is just naturally going to flow through the garden hose. And if it's kinked, it can't flow. So if you feel a block in your intuitive knowing, you know, look and see. Maybe you're stepping on the garden hose. And you can just make a choice to shift that and let it flow. I think another key element here is being willing to learn from the animals. So a humility there that an ant, a cockroach, a butterfly, a bear, a horse, your dog, your cat, whoever, they all have consciousness and wisdom. They all have something to teach us. Practicing non-attachment is really important in the communication process too. If folks have an emotional investment in what the animal is going to say or what the outcome is, that can interfere with the clear flow of receiving and transmitting messages clearly. Another tip I would say is to really allow the communication process to happen. It's organic. There's no recipe. You never know where you're going or what's going to happen. Every animal is different. And even if you connected with the same animal many times, it might be different next time. So it's really being open to surprises, be in the flow, have fun, you know, this is a blast, and really let it happen. Let it be easy. I often say be the feather in the wind, right? The feather is not directing. The feather is along for the ride, enjoying the journey. One other tip I would share is really being gentle with yourself. You know, this is a process. Most of us didn't pick up a book and just start reading. We learned the alphabet. We learned words, sentences, and then we were able to read. So wherever anyone is in the process of communicating with animals, it's perfect right where they are. And from that place, you can grow and evolve. And it will unfold. If at any time you feel stuck, come back to your breath. Breathe. Get grounded, centered, emotionally peaceful, and try again. One other thing I want to
do. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to mention that first impressions are the intuitive knowing, and second guessing is the rational mind. So I encourage people to really trust and honor and acknowledge what they receive and be grateful.
Absolutely, it's that first impression, definitely. But can you explain how Do animals speak in words or pictures, or how does the information come through them? And is that, does it come through all animals the same way?
Sometimes information can come through in words, but it can be a variety of ways. So the information, the message, can come through in images, sensations. You might feel something in your body, emotions, thoughts, the animal thoughts, I mean, feelings, sounds, a sense of knowing. It can come in a variety of ways. And people actually, they have a sensory channel that's perhaps stronger or more honed. Some people tend to feel things in their body. Others tend to be very visual, perhaps. It doesn't mean that the information will only come through images if you tend to be very visual or if you have a very highly tuned sensory channel of receiving information in your body. Doesn't mean it will come through that way all the time. My suggestion to people is to be open to exploring how the information comes and be grateful for the way it comes in whatever way it comes without expectation. So, again, you know, you could communicate with many different animals. It may come through in a variety of ways during a communication. And it may come through in a predominantly visual way or sensory way or however. And communicating with that animal at various times, the information may come through differently at different times. Like anything else, practicing, and I really do encourage people to practice not only with their own animal companions, but also with animals in nature and other animals to become proficient in really being able to clearly perceive the information and come to know the perceiving versus projecting their own information. So proficiency comes with practice.
Okay. A couple questions over there. Knowing the difference between perceiving and projecting, number one. And number two is like, how do you practice? Like one of the things and that I do, for instance, is I'll be aware of what animals I see in nature and if they are appearing in a usual or unusual way.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if it's the middle of summer over here and there's tons of monarch butterflies all around,
mm-hmm.
one may not have a particular message. It's that is a general message of the whole species, but or take for instance herons. There could be lots of different herons, and there is an animal speak book that talks about what a heron can represent. Is it helpful to have such a book and then consult that and say, is this what the animal meant? Or is that relying on a crutch that may not be accurate?
Great question. Well, I think people can choose whatever they'd like to do for themselves. Books can be helpful. I'm not someone who subscribes to the notion that this particular animal represents this or that, okay? Bear might come to you, or butterfly, let's use your example. butterfly might come to you. And if you're open to receiving and connecting with them, ask. Be quiet. Sometimes people find it helpful to close their eyes. You don't have to. And open your heart. Send a message to the butterfly. Hello. Are you open to that? You know, offer an invitation and then be open to receiving what happens. Perhaps that butterfly will share with you. If they don't take it personally. But a lot of times animals really want to communicate with you. So they probably will. And if butterfly comes to you on Tuesday and butterfly comes to me on Tuesday, butterfly might have very different messages for us. So I really lean more in the direction of ask the animal. You know, have you come here to share something with me? Invite a conversation. So, you know, animal medicine cards and things like that and books, I love them. They're fun. And ask the animal. That's what I would suggest. Yeah.
So, again, going back to what you said about whatever first comes up in your mind, to pay attention to and don't discount that as you're making it up. In other words, I have someone that just put in a question over here or a comment that said it's hard for someone to be still and quote unquote see the messages that the universe or the animal has for us, for somebody that we're not used to that, you know, and it's hard for us to still our mind. Are you saying basically it's just practice makes perfect and believe?
Well, I would say,
believe what you hear and what you think, the first thing that comes to your mind. We're so used to discounting that. But I know when I started into energy work, and one of the mentors would say, you know it, you feel it, believe you can feel it, believe you can feel it, pretend you can feel it. And so is that one of the things to keep in mind? They have to believe or even say, pretend, this is what I'm going to pretend it's saying. And then they get more.
I don't think I would encourage pretending what the animal's sharing. I would say practice makes proficient. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for connection. And so, yes, practicing is helpful. And there are other ways, you know, taking workshops. You can get direct feedback in an environment like that. And you can also ask the animal. So let me just give you an example. Something very simple here. Okay? So you are going to connect with your dog, Fru Fru. Okay, and quiet and still, open your heart, and you send a simple question out. Fru Fru, how are you doing today? And all of a sudden you see a picture of yellow flowers. So the mind could automatically go to, well, that must be wrong. Why would Fru Fru be sending me a picture of yellow flowers? So you can, rather than go there, you can pause and Fru Fru, reflect back what you were seeing. Okay? So Fru Fru, I just saw an image of a yellow flower. Is that the message you sent me? And if it is, wait for the answer, right? And then if it is, can you tell me more about that? And then Frufru might show you a picture of, I don't know, running in your garden and the feeling of joy. And you feel this, your heart open up and you just feel this this sensation of elation. It's being in the flow, being in the conversation. And I get what the person's asking about, because a lot of people sort of, I guess, struggle or find themselves in a place of wondering, did I get it right? So initially,
right,
I would encourage people to just take it slow, you know, ease into it, practice being present, quiet the mind, so you can receive. There needs to be space for the information to come. And, you know, they might find it helpful to read books, take a workshop, work with a mentor, you know, to have support and reflection back that they received a clear message. You can ask the animal for confirmation. You know, ask them to show you. Remember, the animals want to help you. Does that help?
I'll see. There's a number of different comments over here. I think it does.
Okay.
And one of the things that's to keep in mind, someone had typed, it doesn't happen overnight. That one of the things, and in quieting the mind, you become tuned into the frequencies of the universe in general, and then that helps you to flow with the energies and be aware of them. And also to really be conscious that you had brought up on what's happening in your body.
Mm-hmm.
We are so much in our head that
right.
our body changes so many times during the day in response to what's happening around us, and we don't realize those changes. So,
yeah.
So I think doing, practicing that and realizing it doesn't happen overnight and just allowing the feelings
right.
that we are feeling, definitely.
And we're in a culture, primarily, that really honors the rational mind, and that's good for some stuff, okay? But with animal communication, you're not going out to get something. You're not the whole work harder, try harder, get her done, is not going to be an approach that works with animal communication. This is one about pulling back our energy, being grounded, and being open to receiving. So that dynamic is different. When you're transmitting a message, when you're asking a question or transmitting a message to an animal, it's important to feel it and then send it, whether it's via feeling, an image, an emotion, a sensation, a question. But yes, we are spiritual beings embodied in a body. And so our body helps us to receive the information. In addition
to
our mind, which is part of our body, because we
right.
get a picture, and our mind knows what that is, what the picture means. But we're not interpreting or projecting our own sort of interpretation of what the message means. We receive it, acknowledge it, and if you have additional questions or need clarification, then ask a simple follow-up question.
And I think that was so important what you said about when we're communicating to feel the message.
Yes.
And know that it's feeling energy that is reaching the animal. It's not our words, our thoughts per se, without any emotion attached. but it's the feeling and it's the emotion that we're working on, both communicating and receiving.
Excellent point. In fact, when you're communicating with animals, I mean, you can speak to them in English or whatever your language is, but what they're receiving is the energy behind your words. So if your words are not in alignment with the feeling or your energy, animals read the energy. They receive the message of your energy. So it's important to be in alignment. Again, great teachers, right? You know, it's not just what you hear. It's,
right.
It's the whole energy behind
the
message.
Energy behind it. My, yes. We hear that again. Being aware of that energy. Oh, my heavens. Okay, I have another practical question for you. And it sort of changes a little bit because this gets down to the really specific nitty gritty over here.
Yep.
There is a outdoor cat that has adopted the place where I'm living as its home. And the people living over here have adopted the cat as well. And after, although it stays outside most of the time, but after a few weeks of knowing that it's very welcome over here and fed and loved, I woke up one morning to go outside, and right outside the door on the patio, there was this very tiny, precious little dead bird. Now, I know that was a gift from the cat to us. How do you communicate to a cat, thank you very much, you know, for that gift, but please don't kill? What do you do with that?
Okay. Well, the first part of your question, if anyone else gave you a gift, your natural response would be a feeling of gratitude. So you already know how to thank the cat. It's with a feeling of gratitude and appreciation. In terms of making the request for the cat not to kill birds and bring them to you as gifts, well, you can make that request. And one way to do it, not the only way, but one way to do it is, you know, you can, again, get clear on what your message is. You can visualize it, have a sensation or whatever, and simply transmit that to the cat. So you might show a picture, for example, of, you know, birds flying and the cat's not jumping up to kill them. The birds are just flying, and they're just flying past the cat. Okay? And then you can make a sort of verbal or kind of a sensation request of, no, thank you. I don't care for dead birds. I appreciate what you've done, and I don't care for dead birds. You can just let them know. However, it is in cat's nature to hunt. And birds are part of their food source. Animals have agreements about that in the wild. And even though this may be a semi-domesticated cat, it's still a wild animal, even though it's chosen and there's an agreement to live with people. So you can make a request for anything, and then I would suggest not being attached to the outcome, because chances are that the cat is not going to include birds in its menu probably not going to happen. It might. They might receive your request clearly and then not bring you gifts. But it's helpful not to be attached to the outcome. Does that help?
It does, and it's a reminder that sometimes it's a little difficult to accept the way natural instinct is. Because you never want anyone to transition. And I suppose one of the things that I had heard, and it's, you know, the bird is not dead. The bird transitioned. Because
the spirit
just
of
like
the bird has transitioned. The bird's body is dead. Yeah.
Right, right. The body is. But the spirit of the bird is not dead. And that helps to know that you can't kill spirit. You can kill the form that it's in, but you can't kill spirit. And to know and I'm practically choking up just thinking about this because it's so tender with animals, you can know that there is just a greater flow to the universe, and it's as much as you're not acknowledging that you want to go out and shoot birds or whatever, that everything is in a flow, and to honor the natural instinct of the bird and honor the flow of the universe.
And honoring an animal's nature, whether it's your favorite little dog that hangs out by your side all the time, or it's a wild animal, honoring nature, honoring the nature of the animal, and honoring the nature of ourselves, and I mean our true nature here. I don't mean sort of surface wishes, agendas, whatever. Honoring the nature of another.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me change the subject just a little bit and ask you, can you communicate, or do you communicate with animals that have crossed over or transitioned as we were talking?
I do, and I love consultations like that. I love going deeply with people and their animals. I get all different kinds of calls, and sometimes people, you know, they just want to make frou-frou stop eliminating on the carpet, okay? And we can work with that. And sometimes people really want to understand what the deeper meaning, what the spiritual connection is with them and their animals, whether they're in body or they've transitioned. And in the case of when animals transition, one of the things that I've found, people who, I guess, don't recognize what you were just talking about, that the body can die and the spirit lives on, you know, those that don't really understand that or aren't open to it yet, they seem to suffer the most in the loss of an animal companion. And when they have the opportunity to have that connection with the spirit of their animal that has transitioned, it oftentimes creates this sense of relief and a deeper understanding for the person. So I love doing consultations whose animals have transitioned. It can be painful and difficult for the person sometimes because they're grieving. And the opportunity to connect with their beloved, it's just magical. Yeah, it's awesome.
I know on a number of animals that we've had that have crossed over and transitioned that. Feeling them and speaking with them after they've done that has just, it kind of brings closure to the fact that, yes, you know, they're still moving on in another dimension, and you feel better, much, much better.
Yeah,
about the loss,
and it can
help you. Yeah.
It can also be the start of a whole new relationship. I mean, my dog Sierra, she crossed over about 6 years ago, and there's rarely a day that goes by that we don't connect on some level. So she's really an animal spirit guide for me now. And many ways to connect with the divine. And our animals, whether in body or in spirit, can be one way to do that. It's an easy way for a lot of people because they love their animals so deeply.
Right. So there's no limit on, you know, if the animal passed over 2 days ago or 2 years ago or 2 months ago, you can still communicate with it.
Well, it depends. Sometimes, like people, animals will choose to reincarnate. If they do so, there might be a time limit. You know, if an animal crossed over 10, 20, 30 years ago, it may be that their spirit is still available to communicate with. And it may be that they've moved on and, embodied in another body. In which, generally speaking, you're probably not going to have access to, or very little. Yeah, it wouldn't be, at least my experience is, it's not the same as if the animal has made the transition and is in spirit form and available to the person. Yeah.
Okay. So that really opens us up to the oneness of all life.
Absolutely.
Just learning how to communicate more. Learning how to communicate more with our animals, whether they're with us now or whether they have crossed over, helps us get out of our head, into our heart, into our feeling nature, and open up to the expansiveness of what life is all about, that it's not just this physicality, but there is a much, much, much larger life, our spiritual existence, that is really unbounded. And we can tap into this right now, and animals can be a source that helps us do it.
Absolutely. I agree with everything you said. I totally resonate. And that's wonderful. I mean, that's really it in a nutshell. Yeah, it's another way to connect.
And since we have all around us, since we're just so focused on our five senses and looking upon that as reality, and this is a new concept to many of us, and even if it's an old concept, there are ways that we can really hone in and deepen this connection, and you can help with that by so what are some of the things that you offer? Workshops and consultations? Do you want to speak just for a minute about that?
Sure. And let me just mention to what you were just talking about, you know, in addition to communicating with an animal in body and in spirit, one of the exercises I do with folks in a workshop is give them the opportunity to do some shamanic journeying where they get to either connect with an animal spirit, and I also do an exercise where people actually get to become the animal. So there are a lot of ways to get to make that communion, if you will. And in terms of consultations and the work that I do, yes, I love doing animal communication, consultations with people and their animals, love facilitating communication between them. And I also offer workshops. I do a teleclass for the basic animal communication work. And I do in-person workshops for more advanced levels. I also offer mentoring sessions, which are one-on-one phone appointments with people. And that can either be for animal communication training or intuitive development for themselves. As you mentioned, I do Reiki distance work, and that's for people and their animals, either or, or both. Sometimes, just as an example, if an animal is going to be having surgery and the person would like Reiki healing energy sent to them for the surgery, that can be done, or healing afterward, traumatic experiences, or just, you know, maintaining well-being. And I do offer soul journeys for people, which are intuitive readings for themselves, in which I connect with their spirit guides for insights, guidance, and healings. And I offer counseling sessions, intuitive counseling sessions, where I support people on their spiritual path and growth.
And if people are interested in any one of these, how can they contact you?
My website is my name, Rain Hummingbird. So it's rainhummingbird.com. My phone, 828-337-4686. Email, rain@rainhummingbird.com. I'm on Facebook, my name, Rain Hummingbird - Animal Communication. And telepathic communication is good, but it's helpful to pick up the phone or send me an email.
It is. And, okay, just as a repeat, to contact you, it's www.rainhummingbird.com. And on your website also, they can sign up for an e-newsletter?
Oh, yes, absolutely, which I tend to send out quarterly. And, yeah, that would be a great way to connect with me also. Thank you for that good reminder.
And or they can give you a call at 828-337-4686 or through email at rain@rainhummingbird.com. Well, I'll tell you, Rain, this has been an absolute delight. Thank you so very much for enlightening us on how animals can really open us up to the oneness of the universe and enrich our lives so many ways, helping us really to sink into our heart and get out of our head a little more and go through this life with a little feeling instead of just the thinking. So thank you so very, very much. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I hope you really enjoyed the show and really enjoy the rest of this absolutely gorgeous, beautiful day. Each day is a gift for us. And it's just up to us to unwrap what's in it. So enjoy the rest of the day, and enjoy the beauty that is within and around you as well. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you, Darlene. It's been a delight.